No, just coming back from Arda, from recruiting, from interviews. So it's a great feeling when you're there. Also, when you come back, and I'm sure the feeling, I hope the feeling has come to you also, but it's a great feeling when you're part of a yeshiva that has a great reputation. And sometimes we take it for granted that we're part of a yeshiva that really has a fantastic reputation, and a lot of people are clamoring to try to get involved with, to try to be a part of. And there's a big push from all the different schools in America that guys want to come to Mevasera. It's a great feeling. It's a great feeling. But when you're in it, at least I feel when you're in it, when you're in yeshiva, in Mevasera, you don't always take a step back to see or to understand, to appreciate what's so good over here. Why is it so sought after to come to this yeshiva? And it really is. If somebody, Liyai Nara, Baruch Hashem, Davin should continue that way. And there's something that's going on here that's being done right. And being done right also has a lot of mistakes. But the gadol at large, things are being done right here. And I was asking myself a lot, what's being done so well here? So I've changed over the last few years. I used to give shmuzim a few years ago. Many years ago, it feels like. I used to give what people call musr. I stopped giving musr a few years ago, for sure, when I came here. I stopped giving musr. I never felt it was the appropriate place to give musr. Not sure why. I mean, I know why, but I'm not sure if you relate to it. But I feel like guys are doing great. I do feel, generally speaking, guys in Mevasera are doing great. And I think it's important to speak about inyanim. So the last few years, I've become more comfortable speaking about inyanim. You know, Musser is like pointing out somebody's not doing something right and criticizing or highlighting flaws. I never felt really, since I came here, that was a necessary component to what needs to happen in yeshiva. But I think it's great to speak about inyanim. And inyanim could take you from one madrega to the next madrega. And they also are mechazik things that we might be doing well, and everything that we're doing well already could use extra chizuk. So there's an inyan I want to speak about. So we start out the Ilam Mishpatim Mosher Tassim Lefneim. It's a great milestone we got to. And now Hashem is going to tell us the Mishpatim. He's going to roll out the red carpet. Mosher Tassim Lefneim, roll out the red carpet of Mishpatim. And Mishpatim are usually understood to be very logical things, almost things that you don't need to pasuk to set you straight. You can figure out on your own a lot of these things. So it's societal, what Hashem wants societies to look like. Comes to finances, comes to respecting other people, dealing with other people, very logical things to keep societies intact, to keep communities healthy. Yeah, the Mishpatim, he rolls out the Mishpatim to us. What's interesting, and there are many, many examples of this, really a lot, you'll see it everywhere. If you go through the parsha, you'll see it everywhere. I'm just going to point out a couple. But there's many examples. Tov Kedei, the Mishpatim, these very logical, societal, functioning type laws that seem to be unnecessary. Not the laws themselves, but what Chazal or the Psukim are trying to convey to us seem unnecessary. The Mishpatim could be associated with like a cold yeshivish system. You know, you sit and you learn Bava Kamma, you learn Bava Metziah, Bava Basra, Zikin. That's Parshas Mishpatim, just a cold, analytical, like they have the incentive, if you know Parshas Mishpatim with all the Rashis very well, so you get some kind of prize, because it's a very yeshivish Parsha. It's yeshivish Masechtas, and it's yeshivish Parshas. Rashis, there's not so many yeshivish Parshas. Mishpatim is a really yeshivish Parsha. You can learn it, to be ma'ayan into it, and with all the Gemaras that come along with it, there's a lot to do. But Tov Kedei is sprinkled with messages that are not as cold. Just the messages are, I don't know, not what I would expect. So it's an interesting pasuk. I'll just give a couple examples, but there's a lot. It says in Kesef Talves Ami, when you give a loan to your nation, as Ani Imach, you give it to a poor person, Imach, with you. That word Imach doesn't really fit in. To translate properly, there's no place for that word imach. So Rashi, Chazal, they pick up on this. And Rashi quotes from Chazal, it means, Yimach is teaching us, Avi mistakel ba'atzmacha, when you give a poor person a loan, you should look at yourself, ki'ilu ata ani, like you yourself are a poor person. It's a nice fluffy idea. You can learn the Rashi, a very nice fluffy idea. And if you memorize it, you can take the incentive test, you can win a prize. But it's an interesting message that doesn't, it's not suitable for this parsha. This parsha's cold, logical laws. To teach me a deeper, you know, fluffier or emotional part of the mitzvah. It's a nice idea. I'm not belittling it, but I don't feel it's the right place, the right time. You should look at yourself like you're that. First of all, I don't know if that's possible. But really look at yourself like you're poor. You don't know what poverty is like, and it should always be that way. You never experienced real poverty, and you should never. So why is it a necessary component? What's Chazal adding to the mitzvah? Just another example, and this is an example I think everybody talks about, but it's good to think about this, not just to hear about it, but to really put time to think about this. Because this is a strange thing. This is really a strange thing. You know, Ish Sharo said, a person steals a shard, an ox, or a set, Bacho Macharo, he shaft it, he sell it. So it's a knas. Chamisha Bokar Yishalim Tachas Ashar. So it's a knas, not just you have to repay the principal, what you stole, you also have to pay five times. Five times of what you stole. Total of five times. But Arbitzon Tachas Aset. And four sheep for the set that you stole. That's a strange halacha, but it's a knas. Sometimes you're not hired to just compensate for what you stole. Hashem gives you a fine above what you stole. Okay, interesting halacha. Interesting halacha. And Chazal teach us, Amar B'yechanan. Amar B'yechanan Mitzaka. Chas ha-mokum al-kvodon shel brios. He picks up on the fact that there's a strange disparity. Why, if you steal a shar, you chaya five times. If you steal a se, you only chaya four. The chara should be the same. If there's a knas, the knas should be the same. So it's a famous thing, everybody knows. Yochanan tells us, Chas ha-mokum al-kvodon shel brios. Hashem had compassion for people. Shar shahalov beraglov. A shark awoke on its own. Alone is Baza Bohagana. The Ghana didn't have to carry it on his shoulder. So Mishal Chamisha, he has to pay the full Knas. The full Knas is Chamisha. Said, as opposed to he stole a sheep, Shinaso al Ktefo, and the Ghana had to carry it. And he had to be embarrassed, a very embarrassing process. He had to walk out of the house and carry the sheep on his shoulder. So there Mishal Dalit, he pays for. Hohul is Baza Bo, because there was a little embarrassment involved. Very strange halacha. Extremely strange halacha. We're having compassion for ganavim. A ganav, al pi ikar adin, is chayav five. They're a real knas of chamisha. But since in some scenarios he's embarrassed in the process of ganeva, so Hashem lowers the chiyav to dalit. Extremely strange halacha. We're chas on a ganav. Where does Rachmanis come in? We're talking Mishpatim. Mishpatim is Dinim. When did Dinim start to incorporate Rachmanis? You go to a judge and Yechayev committed whatever crime, Yechayev Malkos, so you get 39 Malkos. There's no, oh, but I feel bad because died a hard life, so give him 37. No such halacha like that. Yechayev 39 Malkos, you get 39 Malkos. You stole something worth $100, Yechayev $100. Why does Rachmanis, compassion, where does compassion have a place when it comes to dinim? When it comes to cold, hard, logical laws that Hashem wants us to have a society, he wants us to have a proper society. I'm not sure what's happening now, but I'll tell you something interesting. Welcome. I don't know who's here. It's hard to see who's here, but welcome, whoever just came. It's great to have you. Great to have you. Afterwards, I'll see who you are and I'll give you a proper welcome. But great to have you. So this morning, so usually when I speak, I really try for my own sake, not for your sake. For your sake, I should probably do the opposite. But for my own sake, I try not to say over things that I've heard or I've seen in other places because I like to stay fresh. So I like to think of things. But maybe for you it's better to hear things that are, you know, classical, traditional type Torahs. But for me, I like to stay fresh. So forgive me. But sometimes on a rare occasion, really, it really is a rare occasion. I can't think it happens more than once a year, maybe twice a year. On a rare occasion, I might see something that's so fundamental that I overcome my own desire to stay fresh, and I say, this is what the guys need to hear. So I'm gonna share with you something that Rabbi Yerotham talks about. Rabbi Yerotham was Mashgiach Emir 100 years ago. And Rabbi Yerotham talks about something, but again, these in Yonim, when it comes to these issues, it's a real fundamental thing. In Yonim, like I said, I'm not giving Musr. I'm not talking Musr. I really don't think guys here need Musr. But I think guys need, every person needs development. So I want to talk about a topic that is Machayev development. It's a real topic that it's very obvious, and I assure you, you might walk out of here and say, oh, that was a waste of my time. Because it could have been, and also because the topic I'm going to address is a very basic topic, very simple topic, nothing complicated. And you can say, oh, I mastered that topic, I'm very good at that topic. But development means to take a topic that you're very good at, that you thought about, and then take it weiter, take it to the next level. Continue weiter. There's no end of the breadth of development, the depth of development. You can always go weiter. You should never be satisfied or content. So, just to introduce the topic a little bit, the Rosh this morning at Davening, he really spoke great. I can't speak as well as he did about the Inyan, about the Beavis family, what would happen today. But what he's talking about, you know, in addition to show solidarity and unity and to, you know, be connected to what's going on in Klal Yisrael, but he also mentioned to be Nosa Ba'olim Chaveru. I don't know if the guys are familiar with that concept. Nosa Ba'olim Chaveru is a very strange topic. It means to carry the burden of another. When you see somebody else is struggling or having a hard time, carry their burden. Now, we have a concept, we believe, a Jewish concept we have, that when you carry somebody's burden, his burden becomes lighter. And it's a hard concept to understand, it doesn't really make sense. That's for some reason, when you feel the pain of the Beavis family, so their pain, you know, in a fraction of a fraction of a fraction, you've unloaded a fraction of their burden. I believe in that. So he said that it was beautiful to listen to, and it was very important to listen to, and we need to hear it many times today. And obviously, words can't do justice to what's going on. But I ask myself what I ask myself often. Are we capable of that level of empathy? You know, we should never, nobody should ever go through the hardship and just there's no word, the atrocity of what that family or other families went through. But are we capable of empathy when it comes to these things? You know, I was saying to my shir just a few minutes ago that a good friend, Noam over here, he every morning, if you're interested in hearing the documentary, just come to Shacharis. You'll hear a very short, beautiful documentary. In a real, you know, serious situation, and it'll inspire you to say, tell him very well. He has a great voice for a documentary, and he does it very well. Very short documentary, doesn't get boring. And that inspires you to say, tell him. But even with those short words, and it is very inspiring, are we really capable of empathizing with all these people's issues? And it's an old Shaila. I asked my wife is a psychologist, so I asked my wife for many years, you know, if people have social struggles, unfortunately, a lot of people have social struggles. Is it possible to teach people how to be maybe socially better? More understanding of social cues, just better at social situations. And my wife holds yeah. Her psak is yeah. She claims that it is possible a person could develop their ability to be more, you know, more on target when it comes to social situations. And if somebody struggles, you should have physics from that. I think a lot of people struggle with that. It's a normal struggle to have. That's a little introduction. You'll see why it's no good. So there's a pasuk in Yirmiyah, Yerotham mentions. That's a sad pasuk. Pasuk in Yirmiyah, the Navi says, Tovse ha-Torah lo yidauni. The people who learn Torah, they don't know me. And Hashem is upset about it. He's not happy about this. This is not a proud pasuk. Hashem is saying, those who learn Torah, lo yida'uni, they don't know me. You know, I see people learning every day, Hashem says, in times of Yirmiyah. Today, I don't know. I hope it's not true. But in the times of Yirmiyah, Hashem said, I see people learning Torah and they're not familiar with me. They're learning for maybe all kinds of lo-lishma reasons. I don't know why. But they're not getting close to me. They're not connecting to me. They're not seeing me. The relationship with me is not being nurtured. Tovsiyat Torah lo yidahuni. Rabbi Yochanan writes an amazing thing. That everybody, this is what Yirmiyah was lamenting. But Rabbi Yochanan says something that many of us lament. There's a complaint in yeshiva. It's not in this yeshiva. Not in this yeshiva. Really, not in this yeshiva. But there's a complaint often in some yeshivas that the behaviors that people, the way people conduct themselves in the base medrash, is not always in line with the way they conduct themselves in the dorms. It's a complaint that I've heard in many yeshivas. And Rabbi Yochanan asks himself, why is that? And again, if Rabbi Yochanan is 100 years ago, 150 years ago, which as far as you're concerned is 1,000 years ago. So he asks himself, well, why is this phenomenon real? How could it be, you know, Hashem says, Tovsi HaTorah lo yidahuni, people learn Torah not connected to Hashem. Okay, we could try to figure that out. But how could it be a guy learns Torah, you know, we'll call it upstairs. Guy in upstairs, he learns. And he's a real developed, refined person upstairs. He comes downstairs to a dorm, and the same idea, Tovsi HaTorah lo yidahuni. He doesn't behave the way he should behave. This morning, I made a joke, that's really what I did. I just made a joke. I walked into a room this morning, or Bethel Shirum, I made a joke. The joke was that if people learn on a serious level, we should be refined. I was making a joke, because I think we all know that. It was a joke to make light of a silly situation that doesn't need to be discussed. Because it's obvious to everybody that if a person's developing in Torah, he should be a refined person. That goes without saying. We all know that. So why is there this tiner of Yerucham wonders that a guy upstairs will be really developing, but downstairs, for some reason, he's unaffected? It's fascinating. So Rashi says that when you give a halvah, when you give a loan, you're not mekayim the mitzvah. If I'm understanding Rashi correctly, you're not mekayim the mitzvah when you give money. When you give cash to a person who's strapped for cash, you didn't fulfill the mitzvah. You fulfilled a good part of the mitzvah, a great part of the mitzvah, but not the whole mitzvah. The whole mitzvah is not fulfilled, like we said, until havi mistakel ba'atzmecha kilu ata ani. A lot of the mitzvah you did when you gave the cash, but until you ki'ilu ata oni, until you yourself feel like you yourself are in his shoes, you weren't mekayim the whole mitzvah. It's impossible to properly mekayim some mitzvahs, cold, you know, yeshivish mitzvahs, bava kama, bava metziah type mitzvahs, until you feel connected to his needs. You know, sometimes we say about ourselves even sometimes. It doesn't bother me when people, you know, bit around. People like make fun of me sometimes. It doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me when people make fun of me. Sometimes we'll have a guy, others, as a joke, a friendly joke, they mistreat your property. It doesn't bother me when they're just messing around. They mistreat my property. They're just kidding around. You know, sometimes you put a lot of work into something and you get criticism. Criticism that's undeserved. You don't deserve that criticism. You put a lot of effort into something, and people are just not sensitive to your efforts. They don't realize how much time or money you spent on it, how much energy you put into it. And you say, it doesn't bother me. You say, it doesn't bother me. You say, it doesn't bother me. And then when you hear a pasuk, v'hafta l'reacha kamocha, and you just say, you know, all these things don't bother me, so probably it doesn't bother him either. So, you know, if it doesn't bother me when people are not sensitive to my property, I could also be a little insensitive to his. It doesn't bother me that they make jokes about my appearance, about the way I look, about whatever it might be. So, probably doesn't bother the other guy. And Chazal tells a strange thing in this context. They say, man de boy of a heavy chasidah. If you're interested in being a, doesn't mean a, you know, a chusid, but it means a righteous person. A person's interested in being a righteous person, the kayam milid in Ezekiel. He should learn Bava Kama. He should keep Bava Metzia, Bava Basra. He should learn Parshas Mishpatim and carry it through. Now, on the surface, it doesn't seem to align. You want to be a righteous person, I would tell you, you should daven. Go to the forest, do his bodhidus, wear tefillin at least an hour a day. Do religious activity. Do major religious activities. He says Rabbi Yerucham, an incredible, incredible yesod. A fundamental idea that if you haven't thought about this idea before, again, don't just hear it. Don't just hear it. Take this and think about it. You have to think about this idea. If you haven't thought about it before, you really have to start thinking about this idea. You know, we're too brainwashed by religions. You know, I always say Judaism is not a religion. We're too brainwashed by religions, and you see, you know, Christianity and Islam, waste of time, kind of motions they go through. So we assume also Judaism is a religion, and religion means the service of God. That's what religion, you know, classically, that's what religion means. It says in Yerucham, an amazing story, that religion, it sounds like fear. I would be nervous to say it. Yerucham says it like this. He says, religion is service of man. Religion is service of other men. Religion is an understanding and an awareness of other people. And when you learn Parashas Mishpatim, it's not telling you to give a loan. Of course that's what it's telling you, to give a loan. But you could have thought of that. You could have realized, the guy's struggling. He needs a little extra money. Help the guy out. You could have figured that out. That's not what it's telling you. What the Torah wants you to do, the Torah wants you, Havi mistakto ba'atzmacho ki'ilu ata oni. The Torah wants you to live his life, to feel his feelings. You know, a guy who says that it doesn't bother him when people make fun of him, he never learned Parashas Mishpatim. In Parashas Mishpatim, it talks about a mazik and a nizik. It talks about people who do damage and people who get damaged. A person who says, it doesn't bother me when people make fun of me, he doesn't understand what a person is. He has no concept what a person is. His whole life he lied to himself. That he is a human being that doesn't have sensitivities. He's lying. His whole argument, his whole position, that nothing bothers him, is a lie. And he uses that lie to alleviate his pain when people make fun of him. And then he decides to project that pain onto others because he lives such a deep lie that he has no pain. So I could cause other people the same pain that I don't have. You never learned Mishpatim. Maybe you learned Bereishis. It could be you learned a little bit about Yetzias Mitzrayim. But Mishpatim, Mili Dinezikin, Bava Kama, you never learned. If you learn Bava Kama, Bava Metzia, you sit in Eilu Metzias and Shnai Molson, you learn what it means, the value of my property. I worked hard to buy this. I spent a lot of money on this. I toiled on this. You took it away from me? That hurts. You really hurt me. And now I'm sitting until Zuto Shoyam, until it gets to a situation of Zuto Shoyam, all I can think about is what I lost. And Shnai Molson, and it's mine, and it's yours, and Kula Shali, and Kula Shali, and Kol De'olam Gavar. When you see Kol De'olam Gavar, a person's willing to fight for what he owns. It's the kishkas of man. The kishkas of man is in Parshas Mishpatim. And so Yerucham writes that you bought in that as a religious person, you're trying to understand God. And you're trying to connect to Hashem. And what you completely forgot, or sometimes you forget, you need a reminder, is religion is to understand man. And religion is to connect to man. And man means other people, and man also means yourself. Sometimes you can live out a whole life and be disconnected from your true feelings, from your true emotions. From you yourself, chas v'shalom, nobody shouldn't happen, but you could have a person who is a person lives a life of poverty, and he's disconnected from his feelings about what that means to live a life of poverty. He doesn't want to admit it. He doesn't want to deal with it. He doesn't want to cope with it. And the Ribbono Shel Olam wants us to understand what's man. There's a sugi of man. There's a sugi of sensitivities. There's a sugi of understanding. You know, in today's generation, we talk about, you know, there's a spectrum, like a spectrum disorder of people who are not good at social situations. And I don't know if, you know, I don't know if I always agree with my wife on this point, that people who struggle with social situations could be helped to their full capacity. But then I saw this shtickle by Rav Yeruchim, and I understood he needs just to learn a little mishpatim. He needs to learn a little baba kama. We're so disconnected from each other, and sometimes from ourselves, that we've left the realm of humanity. And in the realm of humanity, you know, it's a little silly, and I'm not talking about this because it's not my interest to talk about, and it's not the topic I want to talk about. But, and I'm for sure not criticizing this. I'm mamish not criticizing this. But for a person to feel satisfied with his level of empathy by sending an orange heart. I also didn't know what that meant this morning. Somebody explained to me what an orange heart is. And I was embarrassed to hear what an orange heart is. But I'm not saying it's bad, because you have extra time on your hands. Send all your orange hearts that make you happy. But if you're an intelligent person, if you're a half intelligent person, you realize an orange heart is not connecting to anybody. An orange heart is a very nice excuse, a nice justification that you did yours. You were yotzei some kind of tiyuv of society that demands that you put on some social forum, some social media, that I also am an orange heart kind of guy. Who cares about your stupid orange hearts? Nobody cares about your stupid orange hearts. Not a family whose life is ruined cares about your stupid orange hearts. But you're so stuck in this culture that has an inability to connect to other people. A person who sends orange hearts, who doesn't go, it's going to be, I imagine, not too far. Who doesn't hop on a bus and go to a levaya, go to a funeral, and cry with the family. Pay a shiva call. And even if you pay a shiva call, I hope this is the situation. I hope you pay a shiva call to these families, and the closest you get to these families is a mile away. That's the closest you can get, because so many people are going to be there. And the closest you get is a mile away. And you say to yourself, oh, what's the point? What's the point of me even coming a mile away? Because there should be 10 miles of people. There should be 50 miles of people at such a shiva house. There should be every yid should come out to such a shiva house. What they sacrifice for Klal Yisrael, against their will, Bal Korcho. What they sacrificed for the Jewish people. What they had to go through just to be a Jew. And just to show that I care about... Orange Hearts is not doing that. But to connect to people. To cry the Levaya. To cry in your room. To cry in Shmona Esrei. To say it to Hillel. That's connecting to people. But we forgot Mishpatim. We forgot Mishpatim. We think religion is to daven to Hashem. That I should be able to learn well. To daven to Hashem. That I should overcome my religious challenges. To daven to Hashem, that my dream of connecting to Hashem should be true. That's also true. That's also true. And if you did that to the best of your capacity, I want to give you an award. You're Mekayim 50% of Torah. But not an ounce more. Not an ounce more. Because the other 50% is exactly the same. With the same drive and the same intent and the same agenda to connect to Klal Yisrael, to connect to every Jew in pain, in celebration, in all times, in good and in bad, to understand what it means to be an Ani. And not, you know, there's a guy upstairs, he comes sometimes and he asks for tzedakah. So we're, you know, very rich white kids and we never have money. We only have, you know, we only have Venmo and credit cards. We can't help the poor guy. Okay, you don't have to help him. If you can't help him, you can't help him. But not to walk by and ignore the guy. Say, have a good evening. You learn a little Hebrew. Erev Tov. Not too hard. Erev Tov, sir. You could say sir if you want. Good morning. Not to walk by an Ani and just disregard him. Like he's a cat. You know, the cat Me Smoli, you have the cat. Me Amini, you have the Ani. You walk by like, Hilu, that guy's a cat, and they're both irrelevant. Not to ignore a guy. And again, all your convoluted cheshbonos, oh, he's really a billionaire, and he pulled up in a BMW, doesn't need my money. All your stupid ideas that these people are billionaires. These are really, really stupid ideas. If you have these ideas, I'm telling you, strong. You're a real idiot. If you think poor people are billionaires, you really have a lot. Your brain does not work. Your brain does not work, mamish. Poor people are really rich people. I don't know where you came up with these stupid ideas. Probably poor people are poor people. That's a better guess. People who ask for stuff are probably, a good guess is they're poor. That's a good guess. Rich people don't always ask for stuff. Oh, this is very hard to figure out. No. Poor people are rich people. We could talk about this for the next week, because some people are so stupid with this idea. I don't know who knocked this. Cheap people knocked this idea into your heads. A terrible way to avoid giving tzedakah. Convince yourself poor people are rich. I could also tell you all some other crazy concepts. One thing I know, if you believe that, I would never do business with you. You really don't understand business. If that's a good business idea to walk around with your hand out, I would never want to do business with you. That's how you become rich. Let's say good morning at least. So let him drive in a BMW. Let him have 3 yachts. The guy has 8 apartments in Jerusalem. The guy owns like the whole back Lawrence. Why does he stand at the entrance to the yeshiva going like this? Oh, I could explain it to you. Go explain it to yourself. But say good morning to the guy. Say good morning. You understand what his life is like. And you know, in the dorms, it doesn't happen here. And when I think about why Nevaseret's a popular place, I really think that, you know, Avodas Hashem, the 50% of religion, I can't know. You know. Everybody knows for themselves. The 50%, how connected you are to Hashem, how good you are in terms of your relationship with Hashem, I can't know. We can't know. Just you know. Just each guy knows about himself. But how are we doing with understanding each other, respecting each other, appreciating each other, machazik each other, supporting each other, understanding, sympathizing, empathizing with each other? That I know. That I see. And I believe Nevaseret deserves its place, that it is a popular place. Because we respect each other here. And I said, I'm not giving Musa to give. Everybody's doing a great job. Doing a great job. But it's an Yanim. It's an Inyan that you shouldn't hear. You shouldn't hear this Inyan. You should carry this Inyan. You should think about this Inyan. And take it weiter. Take it. You're doing a great job. We're doing a great job. And take it weiter. How could I do even a little better job? Even a little better job. So, Mirz Hashem, we should continue. Nevaseret should continue to have a great reputation. Great reputation because 50% of what the Torah is demanding, what Hashem wants from us, we're doing a great job. We should continue showing the Ribbono Shel Olam that this is a big part of what we are and who we want to be. We can continue to bring him nachas. That this is what our yeshiva is about. Shkaya, Shabbat.